God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is based off of our gospel reading for today as we hear another parable that's designed to help us prepare for the end times, to prepare us for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And very quickly in this parable, the way it does it is the master gives talents, a large sum of money to servants, and says that, yes, he is coming back. And notice what happens. The first two of the three servants utilize that talent, invests that talent, and there is sort of a response of that investment. However, the third one does what? Hides the talent. Doesn't even invest it into the bank. In case if he was a little unsure of his investment skills, basically picking up on the title of today's theme, avoiding God. That third person turns his back, so to speak, on the commands of the master and does what is opposite. Instead of any investment, hides. Well, I want to use that as a way of trying to remind us that, yes, Christ is coming again. And in one essence, He has made a similar investment in each and every one of us. He has given us our bodies, our souls, all the physical blessings. And now the question is, what are we going to do with them? Let me illustrate that, first of all, with an example that many of you may know, that of Michael Jordan. We have been blessed by living here in the Chicagoland area of having Michael Jordan being part of the Chicago Bulls a few years ago, in which during that time the Chicago Bulls went to 6 NBA championships. Michael Jordan was considered to be one of the best athletes throughout the century, made millions of dollars, did an awful lot for the Chicago Bulls, even made in a movie. And during his time of playing for the Chicago Bulls, his name was in the news very, very much because of his basketball playing. And now that he is in retirement, now that he's sort of made his fame and fortune, the question that sort of enters my mind is, what is he doing now? God has indeed blessed him with a lot of athletic ability, and he utilized it. He made lots of money and lots of power. Now he's just in retirement? Taking life easy? Yeah, I'm sure he's involved in his investments. But could he not use that same wealth, those same resources, even his name, for the good of the country, of his community? Last week we heard about the parable of the 10 women, the 10 virgins, who apparently were responsible for providing and managing their oil. Some managed it wisely, some managed it poorly. This week in a parable, the master gives the talents to the slaves, to the servants. And so what happens with the gift the master gives? First of all, let's unpack the word talents, because it's not a term that we would use in today's society to describe money. We would use dollars. Very often, we often think of talents as referring to one's ability, like with Michael Jordan. He has an ability to play basketball, an ability that I lack. However, the word in today's text doesn't necessarily mean a physical ability, but a very, very large sum of money. Let me illustrate it this way. Take a typical hourly wage worker and have them work for 20 years at a basic wage. That would equal one talent. So a basic wage for 20 years. That is a very, very generous amount of money that was given to the slave or to the servants who received 1 talent, 2 talents, and 5 talents. Think the 5 talents is enough wages for 100 years. basically, even in beyond our lifespan, that would be more than the amount of money we would ever need for entire life. So now, what were they to do with this talent? The master gave them the talent to do what? To invest it. Please note that the master did not give certain instructions. He didn't say, oh, by the way, I want you to invest in here and I don't want you to invest there. He said, here's the money. Here's the talent. Go ahead and invest it. That's your job. Do something with it. Now, the question is, what would you do? We find out in our text that the first two apparently traded with it. And in trading with it, they doubled their money, which is very good. That's excellent. A lot better than what I could do if I was asked to play the stock market. But notice what happens to that last person. He avoids the master, avoids investing it, even in quote-unquote safe investments, and just buries it. This is kind of interesting now. And notice what is the response of the master to that third servant. The master calls that servant lazy, basically, and then as a result is thrown out of the kingdom, so to speak. Now, let's superimpose this parable upon us in our lives. We have to realize that God has indeed blessed us. He has given us, as Martin Luther reminds us in the explanation of the Creed, our body and soul, our eyes and ears, our members, our reasons, and all our senses, and He still provides for them. God takes care of us. He gives us our life, and He gives us eternal life. He redeems our life. And He says, now that you have been redeemed, you have the forgiveness of sins, you have the love that comes from God, and I have given you all this, what are you going to do with this blessing, with this gift? Are you going to invest it? Are you going to utilize it? Now, I will admit, in today's world, especially very recently, the stock market has taken a great dip. Some people call it a correction. Some people like to call it almost like a mini crash. And so it has made some people very skittish about investing. So we might have to beg the question, was this third servant worried about that? Was he worried about taking the gift and losing it? Well, let me toss another Bible passage to kind of explain that. The way we look at Scripture is that we allow the Bible to interpret itself. The word talent is only used one other place in Holy Scriptures. So let's go to that place and find out more about it. It's in Matthew chapter 18, verse 24, where a king forgave the debt of a slave that has had a 10,000 talent debt. Perhaps that slave, that servant, was given the same opportunity to invest, and he lost it. And given another opportunity to invest, and failed to double the money, up to the point of a 10,000 talent debt. And notice what was the king's response? Forgiveness. The people at this time would have heard both parables. And in the back of their mind, they would have realized that third servant wasn't cast out into the darkness because he was going to lose the money, but because he was trying to avoid the master. Bottom line is, how does this apply into our lives? We have to realize that being the, quote, good and faithful is not just theological correctiveness. We want to be theologically correct. It's not just patiently waiting. and strict obedience to clear instructions, but it is an active response. It's an active doing with what God has given. Don't be afraid, thinking, what happens if the stock market falls apart on me, so to speak? God has gifted you with many gifts. Go and use those gifts. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about how Martin Luther talks about sin boldly, but trust in the grace of God even more. That passage, grossly misinterpreted by some, saying, go out and enjoy the evil lusts of the world, needs to be interpreted the correct way. Luther here is reminding us that God is giving us permission to go ahead and do something, to use the gifts that God has given you, even if it doesn't work out, even if you make a mistake, even if you, quote-unquote, lose it all. Do something with the gifts. When we give a gift to somebody, say to a relative, to a friend, don't we want them, A, to appreciate the gift, and B, to use the gift? Those are two very important aspects that we have to realize that God is doing for each and every one of us. He wants us in turn to sit there and say, okay, Lord, thank you for the gift. Thank you for the gift of body, of my soul, of placing me in this particular life and this vocation. Thank you for providing for my needs. And then the second part of that is to do what? To use that gift. We want something more than just the thank you. We want to see that gift in action. So it is with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has given us this gift. He has given us our life. Do we devalue our life? Do we sit there and say, well, other people have more gifts and abilities, so I'm worthless, I'm meaningless? No, God is saying your life has value. Christ died on the cross to redeem your life. Your life is never meaningless. Yes, God may bless other people more. Take a look at our text. In our text for today, you have servants who were blessed at different amounts, 5, 2, and 1. It didn't matter the difference. It mattered what do you do with those blessings. God has gifted each and every one of us with many blessings. Now what are we going to do with it? Too often our sinful nature kicks in, and we start devaluating the gift that God has given to us. Almost like avoiding God, taking that gift and sort of burying it into the soil, afraid to do anything with it. We might say to ourselves, well, I'm too old, or I don't know my Bible well enough. God is calling you to take the gifts that He has given you and to share His love and His forgiveness. Because in the back of God's mind, God has a particular use for you, is to share that love and forgiveness with people around you for a particular reason, to build His kingdom here. Why God wants to use us sinful human beings who are imperfect is beyond my understanding, but it is how God operates. But God says, I understand your imperfections. I understand you make mistakes, but I've got that covered for you. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. So don't use the excuse that you're imperfect. God has given you gifts. Use them. The gift of faith is worth more than all the talents and money in the world. The gift of body and soul, again, is something you cannot buy. I cannot buy the talent that Michael Jordan had and has. God has to give these type of talents to us. And so, in our text for today, God is the one who is giving out gifts. Gifts that are to be used and not avoided. So it begs the question, what is Michael Jordan doing with his gifts? Now, true, I will admit, he has in some areas been a little generous here and there. But with his name recognition, with the resources at his disposal, he could do a lot more for his community and his world that we're just not seeing. We also can make a difference. True, we may not make the difference for the Chicago Bulls and help them win NBA championships, or the Chicago Cubs. We may not even make millions and billions of dollars. But God is calling us to make a difference in our community, to share His love and His forgiveness. Through His grace, gifts are received. And by faith, you can do something to make a difference in today's world and helping to build God's kingdom. We just need to stop avoiding God. Stop listening to Satan trying to devalue us and trying to get us to neglect our gifts. You have value. You have worth. You have gifts. So this day, we give great praise and thanks to God. And yes, we need to realize that God has gifted us. We also ask God to open up our eyes, our ears, and our senses to help us to use those gifts in a world that is still in need of God's grace and favor. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity we have to take the gifts that He has given to us and invest it for the building of His kingdom. So this day we give great praise and thanks to God. And we ask the Lord to help us not to avoid Him, but to take those gifts and say thank you and to use them. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.